The word of God given to us today is from Genesis chapter 1, verses 3 to 5. Please turn to page 1 of the Old Testament. The words of God given to us today is from Genesis chapter 1, verses 3 to 5. Allow me to read the words. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. Amen. Today is Easter Sunday. May the Lord's resurrection be the true hope for us all. Sometimes, as we go through life, we lose our direction, and at such times, we feel bewildered. In the drama called Sky Castle, there is a line from Kang Chun-sang, played by actor Jung Sun-ho. "You told me to study hard, so I ranked first in the national academic exam, and I went to medical school because you told me to be a doctor. And you told me to try at being a hospital chief. And while I was beating myself over to do that, I killed Hannah without knowing that she was my baby. It's you, mother, who made me like this. You made a man who doesn't know how to live his life, even though he'll be 50 tomorrow." The line that stuck with me the most was, "You made me a man who's going to be 50 tomorrow and doesn't know how to live his life." To others, he had the title of the head of the spine center at a famous hospital. But deep down, he was like a frightened child who didn't know how to live his life. He was a puppet, a shell of a man who couldn't make a single decision without his mother's help. And he was on a path to a life of regret. And so, what about us? Have you ever felt that your life has been colorful on the outside, but empty on the inside? Or have you followed a path that many people envied, only to look back and realize that it wasn't a path that you wanted and you regretted it? If so, what life goals, what direction should we take? Let's explore this together through today's text. This is from Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God created light on the first day. The method he used to do so was to command and proclaim. We need to pay attention to three expressions in the text. There, God said, "Let there be," and "there was." These three phrases let us know that God created the world by speaking. Words have power. Words are not just sound vibrations in the air. They are tools that convey the heart, mind, and will of a being. As such, words have power according to the ability and the authority of the person who speaks them. And words have power within that person's sphere of influence. In the military, the words of the chief of staff can move all the soldiers under his command. And developers who create computer programs also use computer language to create codes and use them to accomplish whatever they want within the program they design. In the same way, the Word of God, the Creator, has almighty power and authority, and the influence and power of that Word is felt throughout the entire universe. God not only created all things by His Word, but He also rules over them. This is the kingdom of God. And so the way for humanity after being expelled from Eden to once again belong to the kingdom of God, where it may be, is to recover faith in God who speaks and obey him once again. And so throughout the Old and New Testaments, we see over and over again examples of God speaking and people obeying that word in faith. Noah did everything just as God commanded him. So Abram went as the Lord has told him. Moses and Aaron did just as the Lord commanded them. And the same for the New Testament. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. The God's people, including Noah, Abraham, Moses, and Mary, show that they belong to God and were members of God's kingdom by living in obedience to God's word. Some people misunderstand a life of complete obedience to God as one of humiliation or the taking away of their freedom, but this is a misunderstanding of God. Jesus is not a tyrant-like leader who rules over a man, but a king who serves his people by giving his life for them and who washes their feet. He is God who cannot tolerate evil, not even a shadow of it. That's why people who know God's goodness and love will joyfully follow his word because of his grace, because they know it's the best way for them. If so, let us then examine the way we have lived our past week. How are we responding to God's words? Are we living in obedience to it as people of God's kingdom? Or are we moving in ways of our own desires and the worldly values? If we are God's people, then living in obedience to it and responding to God's word must be the guiding principle of our lives. In order to get rid of Daniel, those who were jealous of him made it a royal decree that if anyone prayed to any god or person other than the king, they would be thrown into the lion's den. The news would have gotten out everywhere King Darius ruled, and everyone would have stopped praying. At least not in front of people. But when Daniel found out, he went home as usual, went upstairs to his room, opened his window, and knelt down to pray three times a day as he had done before. His opening of the window became an act of proclaiming to the world who was his master. In our lives today, what are our acts of opening our windows towards God? It can be as small as saying grace before meals three times a day, regardless of who we eat with. And it may start from waiting quietly when everyone is jaywalking, and include, in a great way, resisting absurd and unfair things in the world we live, and suffering while standing on the side of truth. In all of these ways, we proclaim to the world who our Lord is. And the people who make this proclamation to the world can be said to be Christians. Now let's look at the first half of Genesis chapter 1, verse 4. God saw that the light was good. We often think of light as the sun, but this light is distinct from the sun, which was created on the fourth day. Now there are countless other lights in the universe besides the sun, so what purpose did God have in creating light? First, God gave light the role of delivering the energy needed for life. The light from the sun in particular provides all the fundamental energy for life on Earth. When the sun's energy reaches Earth, it causes various weather phenomena and ocean currents, cycling energy, maintaining the God's Earth temperature, creating a hospitable environment for life. And the green plants at the bottom of the food chain use light to make their own nutrients, photosynthesis, which is the first step in converting light energy into life energy for all living things. So this light is the invisible umbilical cord of life that is connected to give energy to all living things. Light also allows us to identify objects. The light that is visible to humans is called visible light. And it is through this light that God allows us to see the world and witness the beauty of the universe He created. After God created light, He said that it was good to see, very good to see, indicating that light fully reflects the purpose of God's creation. Light was created to be the messenger of energy, moving through the universe so quickly and beautifully that it became a beacon that could illuminate all that God had created and make God's creation visible to humans who will be created in the future. And this light is still fulfilling its role to this day. But unlike the light, humanity, which was created by God and was good in God's sight, became something that caused God to lament. Instead of being good in God's sight, the image-bearing stewards of God's creation, humanity became self-centered beings driven by selfish desires. This was even true of the Israelites, God's people. In the book of Judges, it says repeatedly, everyone did as they saw fit. This means that they judged and acted according to their own opinions. In other words, how they saw the matter according to the current of the worldly values. And this is the same direction that the Satan used to tempt Jesus, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It causes us to waste our lives on the pleasures of the flesh, what is pleasing to the eye, and what we can show off to others. And in the end, those choices lead to a life of regret, because in the end, our lives will be judged not by our lives and other people, but by eternal God. So is my life right now a life that is good in God's eyes, or is it a life that seems good in my own eyes and in the eyes of others? If the trajectory of my life is not aligned with God's perspective, then I need to cut off the fetters of the world's worldly desires and need to change the trajectory so that we can obey wholly the God's words, and this is what we should earnestly pray for. And this is from the second half of section 4 through section 5, the same verse. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. That God separated light from darkness and called the light day, and the darkness night. Day is a time filled with light, and night is a time of darkness without light. In this way, God created light, but He also set aside the time that is free from light's influence and set the time of darkness. Later in God's creation, he continues to distinguish between beings in various ways. After separating light from darkness, God separates water from the land and creates different types of life. In this way, God gave each being its own uniqueness, each with its own role and beauty. While light awakens and energizes all things, darkness provides rest and restoration for all things. Many creatures, in particular, sleep at night to reserve the life energy they have used so intensely during the day so that they have the strength to face the day once again. The rhythm of day and night allows all creatures to live in balance, aligning their lives with that cycle. In modern times, however, many of us have created artificial light through electricity, making night the same as day. And as a result, sometimes we stay up all night doing activities, watching videos, or playing on our smartphones, defeating God's intent and purpose for allowing night to be night, and thus making day to be day. We need the wisdom to recognize and utilize the sequence of the day, which he created with light, and the sequence of the night, which he created through the absence of light. God created everything in the world to be different and distinct, but human beings often break down the walls of distinction without recognizing them. Especially in the postmodern era, humanity is living in a time where absolute standards are broken down, and even the principles and order of God's creation are torn down. Now, when remodeling a house, there are certain things you don't want to arbitrarily demolish. These are the columns or load-bearing walls that support the building. If you destroy them, you endanger the building itself. In the same way, no matter how much times change and the zeitgeist change, God's created principles and orders are like pillars that support human life, and we cannot expect a better world by tearing them down. Therefore, even as times change and people's thoughts and ideas change, Christians should not give up basing their lives on God's word. Rather, they should be witnesses to reveal what is true through their lives built on the Word. Today we saw how God created life. It will meet God who creates and governs by this Word. This applies to Jesus, God, the Holy Son, who came down to earth. Creation responds to and obeys what Jesus says, so he could command the wind to stop. Therefore, we as creatures must obey his word and not only live a life that is good in his sight, but we must further weave our lives into this word that will surely be fulfilled. We should not, like the disciples who failed to repeatedly wait for the risen Lord because they failed to accept the word, even though Jesus told them again and again about his resurrection, live a life where we miss the word given to us because we failed to believe it, wait for it, and respond to it. So what is the word, a promise that Jesus gave us that will be fulfilled? This is from John chapter 6, verse 40. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. The reason why resurrection of Jesus is the gospel is because his resurrection conquered death and became the first fruit of his victory to eternal life. And it is the proof of our own resurrection. Like Jesus, we too will rise again. We too will be given new bodies and new lives, clothed with imperishable, incorruptible things. Therefore, we must place our hope in the resurrection and the second coming of Christ by hanging our lives on His word, which will surely be fulfilled. Otherwise, if we choose to live according to our desires and in the eyes of others, our lives are bound to be stained with regret and sorrow. I have one hope, and that hope is to close the eyes of my body, breathe my last breath, and one day, in God's time, hear the voice of the Lord, open the eyes of my transformed body, and greet Him with joy. This hope is the most holy and sincere hope, incomparable to any earthly hope that I have, incomparable to any purpose of life, and above all, a hope that is sure and sure to come to pass. With this hope, let me close my sermon with the last words of the Apostles' Creed, which we confess. I believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give thanks for the love with which You created the umbilical cord of life to save countless lives in this world. Today we eat and drink and are nourished and sustained by the fruits of that light. And through that light we see Your power and handiwork revealed in the natural world You created. We also recognize that You allowed us a time of darkness last night. In it, we enjoy the grace of rest and restoration. But even with this wonderful gift, we confess that there have been times when our lives have strayed from the confines of Your word, when we have spent our time living lives that look good in the eyes of men, not in the eyes of God, and when we have forgotten the order of creation. In this hour, drive out all darkness, disorder, and vainness from our hearts and give us the grace to weave our lives into the fabric of Your word of promise so that we may live as Your people, leaning on the promise of the resurrection to raise us up again at our last moment on this earth, committing our souls in faith into the hands of the Father and holding on to that moment of life when we will one day stand before You, so that we may live a blessed life, one that You will look up and praise as being good, even today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.